अजानलम्ब भुजो कनकावतारौ संकीर्तनैकपितरो कमलायताक्षौ विश्वंभरो द्विजभरो युगधर्मपालो वन्दे जगत्प्रियकरो करुणावतारो हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Okay, someone go around and wipe up all the tears. Goranga bolite hobe pulaka shari hari hari bolite nayone bobe near. We should all be crying, according to Narottam. Well, yeah, one of the first of the many profound statements I heard after being allowed in the doors of this movement was from Guru Das. Not you. You weren't even born in this body. So he said, we'll know when our movement is successful when we have to appoint someone to mop up the tears after kirtan. Didn't get there yet. Well, that's what we all came here. To worship Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. To worship Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known along with his... He is himself the Supreme Lord. He appears with Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu, with his Shaktis, beginning with Gadadhara, Jagadananda, and all the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur. So in this way we are to know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's not alone. Vande Guru, Isha Bhaktam. First words of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. First offer respects to the gurus, plural. Then to the devotee. It means all together, but first the gurus are mentioned. Then to the devotees of the Supreme Lord. To the Supreme Lord himself, to his avatars, to his prakasha, his expansions, and his shaktis. In this way, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is properly known. We've come here together on the order of Srila Prabhupada, who in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in one of his purports, instructed all the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to assemble in Sri Dham Mayapur at the time of Gaur Purnima to celebrate the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very pleased, no doubt. So many devotees are coming, and we can also remember having this superb facility here, seeing this superb deity worship with the gopis dressed today in Manipuri dresses, is it? Did anyone announce? Manipuri style. So these facilities have come together thanks to the Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, who are especially the Prabhupada Bhakta Vrinda. Srila Prabhupada brought devotees here into the rice fields. No one except Srila Prabhupada could understand why we want to build a temple in the middle of the rice fields. And so you couldn't even get there. There were no buses going at that time. The buses started coming after this temple came. Otherwise no bus, there's no need for any bus. You could get a train to Krishnanagar or Dhubali and walk or convince a rickshaw driver to take you. something like that, and walk over the rice fields. And this is the world center of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada very happily said. It didn't look like the center of anything, the center of the wilderness. But Srila Prabhupada established his temple here. Now it's come up and is coming up so beautifully. The big temple is to come. But we have to remember, as we are very comfortably accommodated here, at least I am, I lead a privileged life more than others, that others are also, depends on the level you pay for. But there are nice facilities. See, there's, I'm staying in the senior brahmachari building. Look, there's so many devotees. I've been here so many years and being well looked after. But in the initial days, there was so much struggle. There was no electric current most of the time. There was no running water. There were plenty of mosquitoes, quite a few snakes, a lot of struggles in Bombay, in Mayapur, in Vrindavan, these three centers. Srila Prabhupada, after establishing his movement in the West, spent more time in India, and especially on these three projects. So devotees, some of them are not with us now. Some of those devotees who went through so many difficulties. Some are very famous for having stuck with it through all these years. Some are less famous, but some are not with us means some have already departed this world in this body. Some have unfortunately gone from Mayapur to Maya, but that won't be permanent. But their sacrifice has made this possible, and more sacrifice will be required to expand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement more and more. We've come here to glorify Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very difficult task, because it's very difficult to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very difficult to understand Krishna. Bahunam jandanamante jnanavan maam prapatyate vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. After many births of cultivating knowledge, someone might come to the correct conclusion that Vasudeva, Krishna, is all in all. But such a great soul is very rare. But of those who have understood Krishna as all in all, much less have understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Na Chaitanyat Krishnat Jagati Paratattvam Paramiha. There is no higher truth than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yadadvaitam Brahma Upanishadi Tadapyasya Tanubha. The Brahman effulgence, which is considered non-dual, which is glorified in or indicated in the Upanishads, that is simply the bodily effulgence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ya atmanta yami purusha iti so syangsha vibhavaha. And the paramatma feature of the Lord is simply his expansion. Shadaishvarya purno yahiha sasvayamayam. He is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, replete with six principal opulences. It's very difficult to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he doesn't show himself as such. He shows himself as a devotee. So Here in Mayapur in 1976, during one of his lectures, Srila Prabhupada said, I remember because I thought it was, at the time I was surprised by Srila Prabhupada's statement that we should just try to understand and have faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I thought, well, the way Prabhupada said it, it sounded like it's such a difficult thing, but it sounded very easy. I thought, what's the big thing? Actually, by Prabhupada's mercy, it's not so difficult because we have faith in him. Our faith in Krishna was nourished by our, established by him, nourished by him. And Prabhupada told us, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, he didn't claim that just as his own opinion, but on the basis of Shastra. And he also told us that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has come as a devotee, in the, appearing like a devotee, but he's actually the Supreme Lord. So we accepted it. And in Bengal and Orissa, I was just saying this the other day in Hindi class, that in Bengal and Orissa, people, who at least those who are devotees of Krishna, they understand. Bhakti, devotion to Krishna, means simultaneously to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But outside of Bengal and Orissa and maybe some parts of Assam, Tripura, Manipur, Indian people, for them, Krishna Bhakti means, yeah, they've heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they're in Vallabh Sampradaya or Madhva Sampradaya, and they know as great saints Suradas, Meera, Purandar Das, but they don't have any special regard for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So actually devotees coming from the West or outside of India who come to Krishna consciousness by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, then from the beginning, just like children in Bengal who grow up, especially those who grow up in Vaishnava families, they imbibe with their mother's milk, as the saying goes. For them it's just part of growing up. They from the beginning they have faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for those whose spiritual life begins after a career of ungodliness coming from outside of India, they're also in the coming from the beginning having faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But so for us it seems very natural, but for people, in that way, in that sense, those of us who are coming from outside of India are in a more fortunate position than even Vaishnavas from India who don't grow up with the understanding that na caitanya krishna jagati paratattvam paramiha, that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just another saint, but he is the ultimate object of worship for all saints, and even for those who aren't saints. Some know, some don't know. But he is the ultimate object of worship for everyone. So, for people who take to Krishna Bhakti in other parts of India, they have to later on learn about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and sometimes it's difficult for them to accept because they're inclined to their own local tradition. So in that sense, we're very fortunate. And actually in every sense, we're very fortunate. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, to make everyone fortunate. Everyone in this material world is unfortunate. We have made our own misfortune. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to make the unfortunate fortunate. It's a difficult job. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognizes it's a difficult job. He himself feels it's very difficult. He says that Ekala Malaka Ami Kaha Kaha Jaba. I'm just one person. I'm one gardener. Gardening the garden of bhakti. How many places can I go to? He sent Nityananda Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It appears that he fled Bengal, having been insulted by certain persons here. And he visited again and forgave those persons. But he sent Nityananda Prabhu back to Bengal. You preach here. It's difficult for me. You better do it. Difficult place to preach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought. Of course, it would seem that there are places more difficult to preach in, such as the United States of America, Turkey, Russia, and all other impious places. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfills his desires through his devotees. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. His desire, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale. Svayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Sapadanti. Come. We pray to Rupa Goswami. The mundane scholars, they call the Gauriya Sampradaya the Chaitanya Vaishnavism. But our own way of describing ourselves is Gauriya or Rupanuga, followers of Rupa Goswami, not Chaitanya Anuga. It's very difficult to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, most of the time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was simply absorbed in ecstasy, especially in the later part of his pastimes. And some description of that is given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And many of his pastimes are described, but actually most of the time was his mad, apparently mad, actually that's sanity, but because we are insane, it appears to us as mad. His apparently mad utterances, scraping his head on the wall, calling out pathetically, "Where is Krishna?" So, that is very difficult to follow, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed his principal associates to write books, among which especially the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Sri Rupa Goswami, that is the guidebook for all devotees who are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that gives guidance. Sambandha Abhideya Prayoja. Not so much Sambandha Gyan, but the glory of bhakti is established, of pure devotional service is established. How to practice that is most important for us. And what is to be attained by the practice of that? What is the ocean of bhakti ras that awaits one who goes through all the preliminary stages? That is described in Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Therefore, devotees in the Sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are called Gauriya, which appears to be a geographical description, but because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this land, it appears to be a geographical connotation. But actually, Gaudiya indicates those devotees who are more attached to Radha than to Krishna. So that's a very esoteric understanding. Shigaura Mandala Bhumi Jeba Jane Chintamani Tara Hoy Braja Bhume Bash. Those who accept that this land is fully spiritual, then they're actually living in Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami, he instructed the devotees, taking instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically sat down with Rupa Goswami and on another occasion with Sanatana Goswami and instructed them to write the books that would form the basis of his sampradaya. Rupa Goswami is also the leader of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another point is that why we're Rupa Anugas, because just like we don't say that we're, a devotee doesn't say I'm a devotee of Krishna, but he aspires to be a devotee of a devotee of Krishna. So Rupa Goswami is the chief follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So always have to place ourselves a position further away. Not further away, actually that brings us very close, but not to suggest that we have direct access. Well, devotee is das anudas anudas. Rupa Anuga implies that after Rupa Goswami in the next generation, Krishnadas, Kaviraj Goswami, Narottam Das, Vishwanath, and in this way the parampara is going on. So that implies that we are followers in the parampara up to Rupa Goswami, who discovered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or revealed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner intention. So in that way we're also followers of Rupa Goswami. Follower of Rupa Goswami means follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually there is no other way to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why the recent acharyas who have revealed Mayapur, they have also revealed what it means to be a devotee, of what it means to be a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Recent acharyas means here we have our own Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So all of these acharyas, the great followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have revealed the dharma of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Sri Chaitanya... What is that? Guravi bhava bhumestram nirdeshta sajjana priya Vaishnava sarva bhuma Sri Jagannathayate nam. We offer our respects to Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who used the nirdeshta. He said, it's here. He confirmed this is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had been performing bhajan in Vrindavan. He came to this Vrindavan. Here, Mayapur Dham, Navadvip Dham, this is Vrindavan, non-different, but actually more accessible. Vrindavan is very difficult to access, even for very highly elevated devotees. But Sri Dham, Navadvip is most merciful, non-different from Vrindavan. But we can find Vrindavan more easily here by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The acharyas, they have revealed the dham. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj also. He was living in Vrindavan, but he came to Navadvip. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur aspired to live in Vrindavan, but was told, no, you have to serve Navadvip Dham. So he lived in Vrindavan, living in Navadvip, at Shananda Shukadar Kunja, in Godruma, just over the river. Non-different from Nandisha, the place of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he performed such service to Navadvip Dham that practically we have to be Bhaktivinoda Anugas. Bhaktivinoda Anuga. Yeah. If we are told to reside in Mayapur Navadvip, because he revealed this Dham, which all the indications were there, geographical, historical, but it was lost. No one knew what is this Dham. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed that by his own vision. He compiled books revealing the glories of Navadvip Dham. He wrote so many, he personally resided here. He made so many songs glorifying Navadvip, the glories of Navadvip. Actually, all the acharyas, there should be more glorification. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his contributions. People of the world, they no idea. Even in Bengal, Bengalis are so fortunate and so unfortunate. They're so fortunate to be in the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the land of all these acharyas, but they don't even know their names. It's the most ridiculous thing. Even people in Bengal, most say they've never heard of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They can very easily sing his songs and understand them, but they're so unfortunate that they're just wondering when we can kick out the communists and bring in Mamata Banerjee. Yes, foolish. Foolish preoccupations. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he told Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to serve Gaura Naam, Gaura Dham, Gaura Kham, the name of Gauranga, Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gauranga Naam. This is Nityananda Prabhu's instruction. Serve the name, serve the Dham, and serve the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did in an unprecedented manner, sitting for 9 years and chanting. That was what he was doing for 9 years, chanting the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We say, we feel happy to say the names of Krishna. But if we have to sit, if someone tells us, now you sit for a whole day and chant, we'll think it's a very difficult task. But he was sitting for over 9 years and nothing else. That's what, of course, he was also overseeing the affairs of the Yoga Pit, preaching also. After chanting 3 lakhs, and that's 3 lakhs, 3 times 64 rounds every day. Like Haridas Thakur, he was also preaching on top of doing that. You may think, where's the time? But they were doing it also. These are our acharyas. So he was chanting and preaching. Means people would come, he would preach to them, he would convince them. He was sitting in the rice fields chanting. Means that the temple was there. At that time, not that big temple. That he built that later. It was just the original temple built by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It was just quite a small construction. So sitting there chanting, people would come, he would preach to them, and some of them although they were young men with their life's possibilities ahead of them, educated young men, ambitious, they thought better than living in Calcutta, they left Calcutta and came and sat with him. With no facility, just, they thought that it's better to be here. They were right. Better to be at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Such a Vaishnava. So he was chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting day and night and preaching and overseeing the affairs, writing. He was serving Gaura Nam and serving Gaura Dham. And that's also Gaura Kam, that people, the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that people chant his name and reside in his Dham. And by doing so, they can achieve the highest love of Krishna up to the highest level, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal. Rupa Goswami revealed that the highest level of love for Krishna, Ramyaka Chiddu Pasana Vraja Vadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita, that the best worship of Krishna is that conceived of by the gopis of Vrindavan. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam. This is the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't have to chant the holy names to achieve that. Rather, by chanting the holy names, he simply swam in the ocean. Gaura Prema Rasarnave, swimming in the ocean of Gaura Prema Ras. For the great devotees, chanting the holy names is not a sadhana, it's simply natural outpouring of what their inner ecstasy. So he was chanting and chanting, but there's another desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Bhaktivinoda Thakur also wanted fulfilled. Prithivite ache jatanagara adigram sabatra pacha hoibe morana, that Gaurdham is there, Navadvip Dham, that the whole world should be inundated with the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that requires going to the world, because the people of the world are so unfortunate. They won't come. Why should they come here? There's nothing for them. There's no sense gratification. Then why should they come here? They have no interest to come here. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur apparently went to Calcutta, although he denied that he ever went to Calcutta, because his guru told him, don't go to Calcutta. So he never went. Means his mind never went to Calcutta. Not to the offers of enjoyment that were there, but his mind went to the fallen conditioned souls who are flocking to Calcutta, a growing city, and it's still growing and growing. But no one was flocking to Mayapur. No one had heard of it. No one had any interest in it. Some few people. The efforts of Bhaktivinoda Thakur had not gone in vain. But for preaching Krishna consciousness, to fulfill the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that not just a few people should know about his glories, but that the whole world should take to Krishna consciousness, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to Calcutta. So the history is, at least from the external facts and figures, is probably well known to all of you, all of us here, how our own Srila Prabhupada, on what appears from our perspective to be his first meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Before he had even time to say anything to Saraswati Thakur, was instructed by him to preach Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking world, which he did, which is why we are all here. It's all the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is received through his devotees. We have this opportunity to come here in this sacred land. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to come each year to get inspired and purified and then go away to the various parts of the world that we've come from and preach the message of Krishna consciousness. If we go to people in Venezuela, I don't know if I pronounce that even properly. Anyway, Venezuela, Russia, China, and tell them about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful golden form shimmering in ecstasy. Premer dhala dhala shonara anga, his golden form shimmering in ecstasy as he dances. People are so unfortunate. They won't have any interest in this. They'll think we're mad, which we are, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. According to the materialistic perspective, devotees are all mad people. So it's good to be mad for Krishna. But preaching means we have to give a message that people can at least begin to understand and make further progress. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada preached Krishna consciousness all over the world. We don't find that he often spoke about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his ecstasies. Not very often. Not directly. But he introduced the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. People didn't understand, many people didn't feel a need to understand because they take it as something enjoyable. People are singing. That's nice. Unless people are very hard-hearted, they appreciate when people are singing and happy, even if the people who are observing that don't know why the people are singing and happy, then generally they appreciate. Oh, that's nice, people are singing. Sometimes they don't appreciate. On some occasions, I was told when the Croatia football team got knocked out of the World Soccer Championship, the next day the devotees who, good for them, they didn't know, or the rest of the country knew, they went on Harinam Sankirtan and all the people were like, what are you being so happy for? They didn't like it. It's a day of mourning. And also in Sweden, when one of their prime ministers got shot dead and the devotees were out doing Harinam, devotees, they're so ecstatic that they didn't know. So there are some occasions where people in general think that you shouldn't be happy. There are occasions when it's appropriate to be sad. But generally people are so frustrated and miserable, and you can pull out a whole other bunch of words from the dictionary. We all know that many people appreciate seeing the Harinam, seeing devotees dancing, and even the what appears to many people to be strange clothing. Well, it's bright, it looks nice, it looks happy. At least they're happy. Many people appreciate without knowing even what is this chanting. And just by that appreciation, by hearing and by appreciating, They make spiritual advancement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is so nice, Srila Prabhupada has said, that even if they don't know, most people in the Western world, even today, they commit enough sinful activities in one day to keep Yamaraj and Chitragupta busy for years. And they've been doing it for lifetimes. But if they just once hear the holy name of Krishna and appreciate that is something very nice, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful. He said, oh, good, all right. Make a note of it. They've made some advancement. They've become eligible to get more mercy. So by Harinam, Srila Prabhupada was preaching by distributing prasadam, which is glorious, the effects of prasadam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada writes, he would perform sankirtan for 4 hours every night in Puri, and at the end he would distribute prasadam sumptuously. Srila Prabhupada used that word. So it's a very nice movement. The people take prasadam and become purified. And by distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books, which give the heavy knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is very joyful, but it's not frivolous. It's a very joyful process, but with a very profound and very heavy message. So we see that all the acharyas, they preached by chanting, by distributing prasadam, by writing books, by speaking the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. All, of course, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, they weren't writing books. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote so many books. It's inconceivable how he could have written so much, even if he hadn't had a full-time job and a big family. So all the grihasthas can also write lots of books or distribute lots of books, as well as their family responsibilities, along with their family responsibilities. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote commentaries on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, many magazine articles, and gave material for writing so many books, much of which has not been written yet, has not been composed into books. And our own Srila Prabhupada, while traveling around the world constantly, never failed to, at night, go on with his book publication, which he said was his most important service to his own Guru Maharaj. So the philosophical presentation, that should be there. That distinguishes this sampradaya from any number of sentimental so-called religious processes. Generally, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Bengal, they are considered to be simply sentimentalists. Prakashananda Saraswati, he also accused Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of being a bhavuk, simply a sentimentalist. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by defeating him in knowledge of Vedanta Sutra, showed that he's not an empty or light sentiment. Definitely sentiment is there. Bhavuk, that word sentimentalist was used as an insult. But actually it's true. But not in the sense that the Ninduks They called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Babu, but they were Ninduk, they were blasphemers. So sentiment is there. Ultimately ecstasy is there. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, they did not neglect to give a very solid philosophical understanding, without which everything must very quickly degenerate. That's why the Prakrita Sahajya Sampradaya, or even not just Sampradaya, but the people with the materialistic take it easy attitude. No need to follow all these things. No need to understand all these things. Then everything degenerates. We see that all over the world. There are big buildings, temples, churches. So many huge buildings in Tamil Nadu especially. We see so many big temples which are going on somehow or other. But there's no teaching. What the temples were built for worship of Narayana, that's still going on in a formal manner, but there's no philosophical teaching, there's no trying to get anyone to understand the process, and therefore it's simply become a formality. Of course, that's a simplistic overview, but that's the that is a major factor in the decline of the various Vaishnav Sampradayas within India, and why there's so many bogus things have come up. Nowadays in India, anyone can claim to be God, and if they, all you need is enough guts or foolishness, whichever way you want to put it, chutzpah, and an advertising agency, and you too can become God. There's so many bogus gurus, bogus avatars, which Hindus blindly follow. There's neither vairagya nor vidya. Vairagya vidya anija bhakti yogam shikshartam ekam purusha purana shri krishna chaitanya sharira dhari kripam buddhi yastamaham prapadye. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, come to teach devotion to himself based on vairagya and vidya, knowledge and detachment, because he is an ocean of mercy. So this Gaurakatha, we should not only tell stories, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, we should see what are his teachings. Srila Prabhupada, the first book he made about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, all the philosophical sections from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then when he did embark on translating this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he first of all, he didn't start with Adi Lila chapter 1, he started with Adi Lila chapter 7. He first published that, which is very philosophical exposition of the faults of Mayavad or Advaitavad. Previous acharyas also, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he himself commented that in his own commentary on Chaitanya Bhagavat, although in Chaitanya Bhagavat there's not so much direct instruction in there, it's mostly pastimes, but he himself, he's given very philosophical commentary on that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote a small book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts, but then a very big book, the Sri Chaitanya Shikamrita, the teachings, the nectar teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we should be careful not to follow in the footsteps of the Prakriti Sahajiyas, who only want the Gaura Prem, but they don't want to take up the work of understanding who is Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What are his teachings? Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, they can very easily be misinterpreted. Because they're revealing that Anarpita Chiring Chirat Karunya Avatirano Kalo Samapyata Manutajvala Rasa Swabhakti Shriya. He's revealing that which was not previously revealed. It should not be revealed to materialistic persons, only to very special devotees. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna, very intimate. And materialistic persons are almost certain to misinterpret them. Therefore, they should be treated very carefully, with proper understanding. Otherwise, if we think we shall just attempt to taste the ecstasy without surrendering to Krishna, following the process of understanding who is Krishna, then we are liable to become victimized by these faults of the Prakriti Sahajis, the misunderstandings. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jiva Daya Kari Shapashada Shriya Dhamma Shaha Abhatari Atantar Durlabha Prema Kari Bare Dan Shikai Sharanagati Bhakatera Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins his collections of songs called Sharanagati with the words that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being kind to the jivas, descended to this world along with his dham and his associates for the sake of giving the praying, which is extremely rare. He taught Sharanagati, the process of taking shelter, which is the very life of the devotees. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the rest of the songs of that collection, he, on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, teaches Sharanagati. What does it mean to surrender? How it's not just a feeling, but there's an actual process, there's a definition of what it means. It's not just by imagination. So, I don't have time now to elaborate on that, but that's my Gaura Katha here today. You can request all the devotees to please study the books of Srila Prabhupada very carefully. And try to understand, as Srila Prabhupada said in 1976, which surprised me at that time. Now, because I was such a neophyte and such a beginner, in the beginning you always think it's easy. But then, as you start going up, you see what a long climb you've got. So, I'll reiterate that message. Please try to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the teachings given by him and the process given by him as we have received it through Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comment, please? Yes. That was a Sureshra Prabhu, please. Thank you very much for the kind appreciation. And if you kindly, I'm not going to throw it. I'm just trying to turn Hare Krishna. I don't know how to turn it on. So. Like me, you're also a technical fuddy-duddy. Probably nowadays you can just wish and there's something will come out of your head and turn it on. Okay. See, we're all from the West. We don't know. I have to give it to an Indian. We are ashamed.
studying Srila Prabhupada's books. This is not a rhetorical question. I just took Bhakti by Bhava, and I got very inspired studying in the Sangha of devotees. But most of us around the world, a lot of us were a little isolated. And
are you isolated also?
Yeah, I'm in Hawaii. That's the most isolated, remote landmass in the whole world.
But you're in association of devotees.
Yeah. Very often it's hard to study through the Prabhupada's. And Prabhupada told us, as you well know,
yeah, to study.
That if we don't study, the day will come when there will be no more Hari Hari Bol. That was a letter.
Well, how do we study?
How do you study?
Well, the first thing is, we have to make time for it. If we don't have time, we won't be able to study. So, that's practical. We have to make it a priority. You're asking me, well, I must say my own study is often quite haphazard due to a busy life. And I can't always schedule it as I would like to, but I make a point to every day open the book, or in the modern age, the laptop, and I'm just speaking myself personally here, but Srila Prabhupada has kindly engaged me in preaching and speaking to others, and what are we going to preach? We have to preach from those books. So we have to keep on constantly going there, and I guess I can't really answer your question very well, because I don't really have any system. One thing, after I'd just been in a movement of just a few weeks, Mukunda Maharaj, who was not a sannyasi at that time, gave me some advice which I've followed ever since, and which has been tremendously helpful to me. He said, when you read, take notes. I think most devotees do that, isn't it? When something particularly strikes you, make a note. And then often we make the note, and then we think about it, and then we want to convey that to someone else. So probably others like Bhurijan Prabhu, they could advise you better on this. But for me, having a ongoing preaching responsibility gives me It makes the subject alive. This is something for me and something to share with others.
Just the fact that you have to keep transmitting Krishna consciousness is a tremendous incentive to be intentional.
Yeah, and to think about it even when you're not reading it. That's my. You want to say something? Akhilesha, from Parikrama.
Coming to the moment, there's so many books. I joined the first day, I went to the temple in Amsterdam, and on the day of the Sabbath feast, there was a big table with all of Prabhupada's books outside the temple in the hall. And I was just astounded where to begin, where to get my foot in the door. And there was a little girl with a daughter of, was from Holland. And he was a translator of Prabhupada's books to Dutch. And he was married with a Suriname lady. So this 8-year-old girl, daughter, was the only person around. She was standing in that hallway around the books, and I needed to get my foot in the door, and I was just contemplating where to begin. But they're my foundation. And it's so I asked her, this 8-year-old girl.
Your first guru.
She's now Mother Ishwari. She's got children. And so I asked her, well, where did it begin here? And her books. And she said, well, this is Bhagavad Gita, this is about who is God, how he is God. And this is book spoken by God, how he is God. So that makes sense. And then she picked out Krishna book and she said, this is who he is as a person. So we can get to know him. And so my whole life, reading, reviving them, the preface at the bottom of Tom, where it says if you want to become self-realized, it goes systematically through the purport, the Sanskrit, the transliteration, the word for word, and the translation and purport, we go first canto, chapter by chapter, page by page, when you're serious, it's all sweet, wherever you touch sugar candy, but when you're serious, go through it systematically. So I've been complimenting. And then all of Prabhupada's books as a distributor, I found great impetus to be able to relate different books, the taste, to be able to connect different people to different books. I found it a great impetus by distributing Prabhupada's books to read all of them, all the small books, all of the books, because you have to taste it. Then you get inspired to present that book to special people who are inclined for this angle of presentation and the taste as they're connecting. So like that, I found distributing Prabhupada's books, to which I was saying.
He's doing.
Yeah. And then it becomes a great emphasis. And then giving classes, hearing and then speaking, you have to imbibe it. And not just intellectual, but actually assimilate it so that it is coming from your heart. That it's not just a nice present, intellectual, attractive presentation, but which is nice, but that it's actually real. Prabhupada always said, based on the realization. I just find this to be in the imbibing. Now I'm reading Krishna books 69 times. A lot of the time I'm going through the fifth time after going Chaitanya Charitamrita and starting again first canto, Bhishma Dev. And going deeper and deeper and deeper. God said, we don't have to read so many books, but to go deep and assimilate them and imbibe them and take notes like that, like Marge saying. There's normal study habits you have to do to assimilate any subject in a school, and when you go into a teacher, you might outline the text so you get the essence of it for the exam so you can study.
I'm sure Suresh Prabhu is, we know.
He was helping me.
I know for a fact, we all know that he's studying Srila Prabhupada's books, that's why he's here.
Alright, so you wrote your Bhakti Siddhanta to the Saraswati Temple. Did that project give you a focus for reading Prabhupada's books?
Yeah, definitely.
Because a lot of devotees report, maybe not as opposed to, but along with going systematically through the books, you have a research project. And you want to see what Prabhupada said about your theme, then it's a great way of studying the books. So,
actually, quite a few devotees have told me that reading that book, it really focused them on Krishna consciousness, gave them a new perspective, this and that.
Yeah.
But actually, it's just, there's no difference between Bhakti Siddhanta and Bhakti Vedanta. And, maybe it's just like, hearing the same thing said in another way, gives you a different perspective, and then you see it all freshly again.
Thank you.
You have more questions? Okay.
You mentioned that in Hoshikaniyam needs to give good portion to the unfortunate, and that some devotees from other sampradayas don't have a special regard for Hoshikaniyam. So, are they not receiving the portion of Hoshikaniyam that is harmful to other sampradayas?
Definitely those who are here and worshipping Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're not going to walk around and say we are superior, but if we accept the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we have to admit that by His mercy received through all our acharyas, we are in a more fortunate position. Otherwise, what shall we say? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was another teacher and they're all the same? No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given teachings which no other Vaishnava teacher ever gave before. And he's made it very freely available. Therefore he is Mahavadanya Avatar. There is a difference.
Other sampradayas, the followers are failed.
They're what?
So the devotees from other sampradayas, will they receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy?
Will they receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy? Well, they have to take it. Many of them are appreciating. I travel throughout India in the course of my years. I meet many devotees from various sampradayas who are very much appreciating in that way. I think we'll finish here. It's getting late. All glories to Srila.